musky lay, lay across my big bum barn. Lay musky lay, lay across my big bum barn. Whatever colors you have in your mind, show them to you and you'll fight in time. Lay musky lay, lay across my big bum barn. Stay musky stay, stay in my net a while.
Right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve, how's it hanging today?
She's dangling, buddy. It is. Speaking of hanging, I might just hang myself.
Please tell me what happened. I haven't talked to you much in the last couple days.
No,
I have not heard yet.
You know, had some fun with them, and just the and typical fashion. I had, honest to goodness, I was with a good buddy and had the bang up bestest day I've ever had on the water, right? As far as volume of fish that were trophy class, right? That's all good and well, and that was fun. And then guess what's on the backside of that, Jay? Not great, right? So
what?
You know,
oh, no.
Huh?
Oh no, here we go.
It was just grindy. You know what I'm saying? Getting one, having some shots, you know, after that. So the old Dr. Bob Areno, who's sitting here, and I go out and we make the transition and I go, you know what? Let's get on some Kraken stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Herbie, if you haven't seen it, Steve Herbeck put out a mod video, I believe on his social. Darcy Cox is running them this way, kind of the way I've been running these things since day one, where you can kind of have the best of both worlds, right? Where we're putting split shot in the weight chamber and all this fun stuff and really getting them heavy, even heavier than a Red October, and just doing some funky stuff with them. We go out, and again, when you fish Canada, what does everybody do, Bob? Blast the weeds.
Blast the weeds, yep.
Blast the weeds. Everybody's blasting weeds, right? Every weed fish up here has been caught on bucktails twice, and it's done, right? It's over. You know, Bob cut a sporting model on some blades. We're having fun there, getting warmed up. Anyway, I go in, and I, you know, I don't Babe Ruth it, but I say, hey, here's this. And we're talking about current, right? And a lot of people don't realize these shield lakes, right? Lac Seul, the Goon, Eagle are reservoirs, right? These are reservoirs. These are not Wisconsin lakes, right? These are not natural lakes. So it's actually a reservoir. What's present in reservoirs? Current. So I go, we need to get on some current. We talked about last night, Bob and I are pontificating endlessly about all things musky. And we discuss it. So you run the play. We check some shallow stuff. We kind of piddled a bit with mid, right? Okay, I'm satiated. We're good. Go out, we start hucking on pure structure, right? Literally current adjacent. That's the refrigerator dying. Sorry, folks. It's noisy and messy. But anyway, we were pure structure, right? Literally holding the break, looking for areas that have current. And I'll talk, I'll give up the ghost on this one. Why not? But fishing that area, go through, boom. And I mean, boom, and I mean boom, the boomer, right? And of all things, Jay, of all things, it runs at the boat, its head shaking like Donkey Kong, and then I just reel in an open snap. So I freaking am beside myself miserable. Just freaking open the snap. I literally had, Bob looks at me, he lets me get, I don't throw man baby fits, right? I just kind of go, nah. And he says, you just had your Booker on French River moment. Yeah. So mark it in your calendars. The 10th of August is the last day I ever use a snap. So
hold it to it.
Huh? Never again. That was unbelievable. It was what I'm here for. It was
what was the condition of the snap? Was it solid paint job on it? Was it half worn or
no? It was brand new. It was a new tie on. It was too big for a snap. Right? So it didn't break the snap. It literally pulled the snap apart. And so if you see one cruising around with a white cracking in its face, let me know. I can get that bait back. Oh, just makes you heart sick, Jay.
That's too bad.
Oh, well, got a bunch of others. Anyway, other than that, what are you doing as I sit here and just...
Well, I just rescued a boat.
Really?
Something new. Check that box. Yeah, well, I was out, went fishing this morning, and this afternoon there's supposed to be rain coming. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, walk down and do a little shore fishing and do a little bass fishing, which I don't do much of. And all of a sudden I hear this guy going, hey, hey, hey. There's no one anywhere, right?
And right.
I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, my boat, you got a rod with you? I'm like, yeah, hold on. So I happen to have a big old shield rod with a 9-inch slammer. I'm like, this guy's boat's like 20 yards
away. No reason to brag that you have a 9-inch slammer, Jed.
Hey, it is what it is, right? So yeah. I'm like, okay, I don't want to hurt your boat. He's like, don't worry about it. I got carpeting in there. Just, go ahead. So I fling it in there, and it lodges. It perfectly slides up and lodges on that thing on the gunwale, you tie your rope to.
Yeah.
What that's called. Cleats. So I pull the darn thing in.
Nice.
Took a while, but
you caught a boat. Do you get to keep it?
I caught an Alumacraft. I think it was about an 18-footer.
Are you going to mount it?
I got it on video, so I put it on my story today.
Check out Jay's story. My stories.
So that's what happened. Boy, that was pure excitement, really.
That's the highlight of your year, I guess, isn't it?
Got a big one. Yeah.
Got a big one. Anyway, what's the comings and goings at the Muskie Shop? Do we have a run on solid steel rings from Stephen Ball by chance if you check the order?
Yeah, we got plenty of solid rings, Steve. We got plenty to make your own, and yeah.
No, what's going on? Is there anything new or anything grooving?
No, I wouldn't say there's anything new coming in this last week, except the Mustangs are on the way soon. Signed up. Yeah.
Prepare yourself for the Mustang. Mm-hmm. No, it's actually
earlier than expected.
Earlier, we're going to have them for this year, and I mean, it has just been freaking lights out stupid with that bay. Actually, Dr. Bob he smuggled them in an orifice. He got some other ones in here to Canada for me. It was, we got them in here, and the ones I have, Jay, are just annihilated. I mean, which is, I've said it before, you're pretty much good for three muskies. Somebody's going to get the tail bit off one. But as far as like getting slammed, they hit it and they hit the right way. The plastic's holding up. Super stoked about that. That's in that bait.
Yeah, me too.
We'll have, I don't know, probably by before the next podcast, they'll be for sale, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So finally something showed up early. Unless the FedEx ground truck explodes, you could expect them sometime this week, right?
Well, things happen.
Huh? Well, these things happen. I mean, so there's, whatever. It is what it is. So as I sit here and take a Smitty file and sand a hook hole in my hand, Jay, I've gone completely feral, by the way. I'd like you to know that. Sitting here, Dr. Bob, if you would, right? Dr. Bob's in a very observant person. Sans these, could you explain what the kitchen table looks like?
Well, it looks like the bait cave probably threw up on the kitchen table here.
They're cracking. Jay, we are literally carving.
What are you guys having a hook sharpening party or what?
It is bait modification, making things come in, eat a little za, as the kids call it. Have a za. And, make a bucktail or make this. We literally sit there after Steve's Canadian heartbreak. I will get one of these. Let me just put it this way.
Yeah.
I'm not swinging the bat at 50, right? I'm swinging the bat at Godzilla. And Godzilla has beat me twice, right? So mark your calendars, give it another 3 years, right? I will get Godzilla, but it's not shaking out the way it is. The funny thing is this, Jay, the last Godzilla was, oh goodness, 500 yards. Different staging.
From the same place?
From the same area, yeah.
Okay.
Which is just of note. So, now this table is, there are split shots from Modding Krakens. There is a pack of Harbor Freight flat washers from Modding Krakens. There's enough BKK hooks to start a store. There's a million variations of Krakens torn up on the table. Yep. Flashaboo.
Maybe Big a little Mac. Blade or two.
We got Dentina Ice. I'm seeing that. Dr. Bob was putting on kind of a master class with the Josh Borowski. What's the name of that? The one bucktail?
The one bucktail, yeah.
Got to hang out with one of those finally, Jay.
The one?
Yeah, he's got the freaking one bucktail, and it's got his... He's got his snap ring parts. So most people don't know this about Dr. Bob. He wears a small tool belt, like Batman. So it's like he's got split ring pliers. Hold on, no, those are my snap ring pliers. Yep. So he's got all the pliers. He does not wear a tool belt. But nonetheless, he has his snap ring pliers and was able to show me that, which is kind of neat. You know, if you're on the fly, he actually has an excellent idea for something to elevate that even more. True. So you need to talk to the whomever is making that to do that. But no, this table's disgusting, Jay, and that was the whole point.
Well, I don't think it's disgusting, Steve. And tell me a little bit more about why and what. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose you?
No, you heard that little
beep. I heard some beep in there. I thought we got cut off.
Yeah. That's the still recording thing here on iPhone,
gotcha,
I believe.
Gotcha.
Because it's going to if we really are just sitting here and this is not recording, no, it's recording. That would be
okay.
Completely.
I just wanted to hear a little bit more about why, when, and where you're fishing deeper and you want a faster sink rate on those things. Is this like in between majors, middle of the day kind of thing?
Staging. So,
well, there's a storm rolled through overnight. Yeah.
Post-frontal staging.
Yeah. So we're post-frontal today, yeah.
And so that sink, I mean, it's like with all the baits I'm doing, I mean, it's like, you know, two weeks ago, it was just Titans. They were up in the grass. They're up on the grass edges. Well, I'm adjusting rate of rise, right? And I'm literally running my Titans, or we're running Titans, where it's completely weightless, right? No weight at all. And... you know, a little Titan secret, by the way, is you can put the if you're going to run it completely weightless, right, either put the screw back in or plug that hole, because there is a little bit of water, just like all those. There's just the tiniest bit can change the sink rate. So but pro tip, right, and this is what it is. I have enough of these where I can kind of do dumb stuff to them. So, like, if I want to, and I have Bob seen it, it looks like a mortal shit on the boat, that perch Titan. Oh, man, it's goated up pretty good. With that one, I just took a small piece of a bottle cap and super glued it in that hole to cover any water that would even get in the screw hole, because it mattered that much, which is like white trash as it gets. My bait mons are all kind of trashy, if you haven't noticed, but... it works. So if you want to like have one where you go, okay, I just want one that is completely shallow. But, you know,
okay,
the modular thing, Jay, is what you're talking about is you'll see it in its proximity. It's simply proximity. It's not that it's falling faster, therefore it gets hit, or it's rising faster, therefore it gets hit. You have to, that's a great analogous thing, which is, okay, Titans in the weeds or Krakens on the rocks, right? What is it doing? It's entering and exiting their line of vision repeatedly. At what speed it is doing that is what triggers a reaction out of these fish, right? So so if you imagine they're looking forward and up, and it goes, the Titan's going to enter and exit their field of vision out of the grass until they rise up to meet it, right? Or it's kind of penetrating their area. And with the Kraken or a tube or whatever it might be, you're actually, in my opinion, a lot of times, it's falling under them and coming above their head. You know what I'm saying? So it's coming from below and then falling up. And if you watch them on pan optics, They're not pacing that up and down the entire time. They're just behind that bait. It's actually when it drops past their little snoots. That's what I like to call the end of their mouth, Jay. Snoots.
Yeah, I know that.
When it goes past their little snoot, they can't see it. And then it enters back in, and that is a big trigger. It's the same thing of like a trigger with a figure eight where it's going to get away. I better hit it now.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is really neat about that split shot Kraken mod is that's a shiftable weight inside of the bait, inside that chamber. So in addition to it, the split shot kind of rattling, it also changes where the center of gravity is, and it makes it tilt in kind of an interesting way as you yank it through the water, and then it shifts back. And it's quite interesting to see how it dances, quite different than if it was just weighted with just the standard weight, which is immovable. So it is pretty neat to watch it operate like that.
Yeah, it makes her funky. That's for dang sure. So
yeah, I got one more question for you, Steve.
Lay it on me, baby.
The hot day, I think it was Tuesday, I got a text. I really didn't get details.
Yeah, we're not going to. Don't say the number. Yeah, no, but I don't.
But what was the pattern? And it seemed like you got outside at least for that day of the, you know, you got to be on majors, you got to be on the moon type thing. Was that an all day thing and they were just going nuts? And what kind of presentation were you using?
So that was goofy. And that was as dialed in as I think I've ever been or probably ever will be. As far as, I'll tell you how that happened. So I noticed there was a cast, kind of a, it was a good cast, but it went by rock and then it entered kind of weed around the very point of a small archipelago and then a small island. And it goes around the corner and it just gets absolutely exploded on, right? Topwater. And I went, okay. And I went,
no hookup or hookup?
No hookup. No hookup. Fish in the net. Okay. Yeah. And I went, okay, cool. Fished out the rest of the area. And I said, well, in my head, thank God, I went, wonder if that'll work again on the other end of this before we pull out. Because the other end is not an area that typically holds fish. And long story short, I decided, well, better give that a go. Wackety schmackety, there's number two, right? And then I went, all right, this is something. And so what I did is I started running the any point that extended, and it had to be, and I tried every iteration there was. And this is talking about when I say you better know a lot of spots that look like the spot you just caught a fish off of, or area. I hate the word spot, but you know what I'm getting at, right? And so I go into the mental book here of what on this lake looks like that, where this point comes out, it's an aggressive point, and it just terminates into the main basin. So what I realized, these suckers are not up in the weeds. They have slid up on these main basin points. There happens to be a little bit of weed there, but they're on the top of these within maybe a fan cast. Like if your boat was pointed at an island edge, you basically had until about 9 o'clock. He was from either zero at the island's edge to about 9 o'clock, somewhere up the spine of that, right? And not in the grass, but just that was what I was looking for. And it was just lights out all day long. Everyone you hit that had the right composition, it was a bite, regardless of time, major, minor, it did not matter. It was vulgarity at its finest.
That's awesome.
I've heard of people having successful days fishing crappie and landing less. You know what I'm saying? And it just goes to show you of how important it is of that. And that's why I like fishing with Bob. It's like it's inherently nerdy when we're talking about it, but we're always kind of pushing one another on pattern recognition, right? And I think what's so important about pattern recognition is you need to be paying attention to it while also kind of flipping around in your mind similarities, right? What is similar? And it's not that we're on a point or a rocky point today. It was what's adjacent, right? So juxtaposition matters as much as composition in some manner, right? So juxtaposition to open basin, something that's been flying around in Canada for a while is main lake, right? You hear main lake this, main lake that, which I think bears talking about for a second, which is, you know, it's going to be like the main lake basin. If you don't know what we're talking about, you go, where's the big wide open water? And are things that are adjacent or interplaying with that, right? It's not tucked back in, you know, Peg Leg Joe's Bay back here in the middle of nothing, back in old Grass Cove. So when you're hearing main lake basin or main lake, it's the main basin, the big, look for the big open part and look for things adjacent to that. But I would say that the more interesting thing that I've been seeing, back to the reservoir thing, right, mm-hmm. is how important current is here, right? And it doesn't have to be, it can be wind current, but with these being reservoirs, there is current present, right? Lake Sewell is a reservoir, Wabagoon is a reservoir, Eagle Lake is a reservoir, Lake of the Woods, they have dams. Leech Lake, federal dam, right? Yeah. And I'm going to give up the ghost on something. I told Bob and I said, well, why hold it? So how do you, and again, preface this with a lot of other stuff. How do you start finding that current when it's windswept? You're not just going to do what I talk about on a river where we go, all right, let the boat direct you, right? If you let the boat drift, you're not going to find the current here. You're going to find the top of a reef, right?
Well, the other problem yeah. is that some of this is submergent current. Like right. It's not on the surface. You won't see it like that. It's like when you watch, like you can watch the windblown current on the top and see it. Mm-hmm. But then if you see underneath it, like weeds laying mm-hmm. over the other way, the opposite way that the surface current's going, that tells sure. you something right there.
That's yep. happening. Yeah. Right? That's a thing. And again, do I have this animal tamed? No. But do I know more than a regular monkey on it? I think after a bunch of years up here, if what I'm looking for, and I told Bob last night, I said, my understanding of the current in Eagle and Lagoon is like a redacted letter, right? You ever see, like, they'll release some letter on from the federal, it's like the Epstein files of muskie fishing. I'm going there, folks. It's like the Epstein files where you get the introduction and you have a couple scattered words with a bunch of blackout in between, right? So I know on these bodies of water where the water enters and I know where it exits. So I've got a starting point and an end point. Everything else in between there is a matter of finding it, and you find these little tiny fragments, right? Where that current is actually interplaying. And we were talking last night, and I'll tell you, this is a super secret, but screw it. You look at rocks, and so every rock up here, you know, if it's blasted by the waves over eons, right, it is smoothed, right? It's smoothed out, especially with live imaging, but I started doing it with downscan years back. If there is current present and it's constant, even under the ice, right, the subsurface rocks are rounded. They're not craggy. They're rounded, and you'll see that when you pull into a place, you go, man, this always has a muskie on it. Look at the subsurface rocks on your down scan or live scan, and you'll realize that a lot of these things that are main basin, where everybody's done it up here, you go, I fish this island, and there's never a muskie here, but I magically fish this island, and it's, oh, there's always a fish here. And you'll notice it's not the surface rocks, it's the subsurface rocks over. You know, that's where the original river channels were running. That's where the current's present. It actually will round the subsurface rocks. They're not as angular in nature.
And to sort of describe them, it's like if anybody does any landscaping, it's like that river rock that you get, those rounded little rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, rather than the chunk rock you see so much up here, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like river rocks, except they're the size of a Volkswagen.
Yes.
Or smaller. But
I mean, there's an area here where it looks, I told you last night, Jay, there's an area here that looks so good, right? Like, I cannot articulate how musky-esque this looks. And you go in, and there are boulders the size of Volkswagens that look like submerged Rubik's cubes, right? They're still chunky after all these eons. They're chunky. You go on the other side 200 yards, and there's nothing, and everything's rounded, right? And everything's there, and it's actually, it's so obvious because there's a tiny feeder creek in the very, very, very back of this area. And the change in rock is unbelievable. It's the same rock, but the current has eroded this rock. It has rounded the rock through just incremental, you know. A friend of mine said something funny the other day. It's like a bird's wing glancing a piece of granite every a million years was the definition of hell, right? So, but nonetheless, where this current that is present in these places has cobbled that out. Everything else is just flood zone. It's a reservoir. And I've said it for eons about the southern reservoirs. You need to be on the feeder creeks. You need to be adjacent to the main river channel. Up here, it just makes it so much harder, right? I mean, even we're talking about the old paper maps don't have it.
Right.
You know, if we could, maybe there's somebody we could dig out of the ground and say, hey, where was the river channel? That'd be great. Could you draw it?
Yeah.
But that's the freakiest thing that I finally, like I said, I'm confident enough to say that, at least that's a bellwether for me of, wow, the rock's on my down scan. That's how it started long before live imaging. But now I can prove it and show it where with live scope where I go, look at that rock. Now let's go to this next island 200 yards away. Look at the rock there. It's glaringly obvious because the current has eroded and rounded and curled these rocks far more than like the angular stuff. So, or throw a bucktail at the weeds, it'll work.
Steve, is there a lot of feeder creeks and rivers going into that huge system? Because you're talking
there's stuff everywhere. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, there's, like I said, there's dams on all of them. There's dams on all these things. And it's just so, it's becoming even more obvious, you know, like Bob mentioned it, Dick Pearson, you know, with you'll hear these fragments, Herbie, all these guys about how current plays. You know, and you just kind of find it, and you just kind of find it here or there. Or, you know, you'll see every now and again, I'll be looking at, you know, watching a figure eight, and I'll notice just the water's different on live scope, right? It's a little bit more gnarly right here. And I start paying far more attention where I go, okay, it's disruptive. It's disrupted a little bit more. Let's sneak in or sneak out. And I start seeing a bend. Or I start seeing, I mean, there's some of these things here where you look at the island and you go, well, how is this subsurface, right? How is this island formed in such a manner at the basin, at the contact point? Why is that scooped out and curved, right? That's not scooped and curved in such a nice rounded manner by the glacier, right? The glacier was a blunt force instrument.
It's water over a long time.
Dude. Right. That was a ton of, that was slow, but it was immeasurable force, right? And it didn't leave a clean edge. And I've realized now that the current has cleaned up the edges, right? So where it's rounded, where it's not wind lapped, we're talking subsurface, right? Where it gets real cobbly is where that current seems to be present more so than anything. And I'll take that to the bank on Eagle as well. You'll see it because you go, that it's there. There's a pool. It's greater sometimes than others. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of, I think that is reiterated so much by the importance of neck downs. I think the concept and the conversation of neck downs started with the first scratching away at Canadian shield lakes, right? And again, Dick Pearson, give credit where credit's due, you know, or you look at these saddles and you'll see a rounded saddle, subsurface saddle that is, it's not craggy, it's a rounded saddle, right? In opposed to you go over a big chunky kind of mess. And it's just, it's so, once you notice, it's like, once you notice, it's something you can't kind of not stop fixating on.
You can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Where, why is this good and that is bad, is the same thing on these southern reservoirs, right? You can take the same thing to Stone Coal or take it to frickin' Stonewall Jack, whatever, you know, take it to Melton Hill, take it to frickin' Cave Run, take it anywhere. It's structure.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think, I mean, we talked about this last night too, is that current, if you can piece together where at least part of that current is happening, that's going to affect things like forage fish migration, mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's like, if you're wondering, well, why does this complex, as good as it looks, never produce anything?
This looks great, and I don't catch.
Why are there no fish here? And probably the answer has to do with, well, the current that runs in this essentially flowage,
yeah,
monstrous flowage, doesn't direct the bait fish migration to sit here. I mean, they may at some point, but it's not a regular thing that's directed by that current. And then, well, the muskies come behind them, so it's not surprising what happens.
Well, you're even saying about like ciscos and photosynthesis, and there's some chaos. You can always have like chaos theory where the wind will blow, you know, the open basin crazy. But, you know, the adherence, I mean,
it's not something the muskies might be able to count on.
Count on, right.
Right. But that riverine current that exists the whole mm-hmm. time, that never stops.
No.
That's always there.
And it's like I said, even to the difference of this, of fish I've seen where you might move them here, but you catch them there, right? Like, we've all done it where you hit this area and you're like, man, I just never catch here. The backside of the island, right? Everybody's, if you've been a Canadian guy, you know what I'm saying? We always, we'll get eats over here, but every now and again, we'll move one over there. And they won't eat, or this, you know, and it just keeps coming together for me where I go, holy crap. You know, it's becoming glaringly obvious that current, that interplay, you know, you pray with the new mapping they're working on. Maybe if you could see the channel, I don't think I'd fish anything off of it, you know?
Yeah, but that produces those staging spots versus eating spots.
Right, staging versus eating, where you go, well, you know, you move them here, but and it's so, so, so glaringly obvious at this point. And some of this stuff, even when it's big, like big current areas where we have a vast, hundreds of yards in between things. And when we start looking at it, not as two separate things, but these are the points on a giant river almost. And you can see, I mean, I literally drive right over here and the two islands that are right off here, right? Mm-hmm. You don't catch on the backsides, you catch on the inside, which are literally the channel, and that one's obvious because the channel exits right there.
Right, right.
And you go, oh, okay. And the rock formations, how that rock is eroded is drastically different than the outside rocks. So. Other than that, throw a bucktail at the weeds.
Mm-hmm. or top water.
Or top water. So, you know, it's kind of, like I said, more, we'll delve into that more so as you go.
Well, you guys found out some interesting stuff already. It's cool seeing you guys get together and rack the brains. It's just like, whew, kind of scary, actually.
Well, we don't rack them while fishing, though. I mean, it's
well, you're racking right now. You got the love table of lures. So
got frickin' this thing. There's a pocket knife, a notepad, a card from my wife, some smart water, a Cliff bar, What else you got here? It's like playing I Spy. Got a pack of lung darts here with a dying baby on it. We got a pack here with a lady with cancer on it. What else we got? Smitty file.
Mm, yeah.
This table's brought to you by the Smitties. They put this little ensemble together for us. Now it
does get pretty quiet in the boat when the big one, you know, it gets pretty intense in there.
The chonky girls are eating.
Yeah.
Now it's weird. It's a weird thing. And like I said, just one more puzzle piece. Again, like I said, from the current perspective, it's like a redacted letter where you pick up a little bit here and you pick up a little bit there. Yeah. I mean, I could not draw you the channels. No way.
It's like a jigsaw. It's like a 500 piece jigsaw puzzle with 8 pieces in it.
We got 8 pieces.
I know where this one is right. And this one is.
Right. We got the corners.
Right.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So when you see water coming in or water going out, there's a corner piece.
Yeah, that's the edges, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I look at all these bass that produce. You know,
yeah.
You heck, you know. You look at some of this stuff where it's structure. It's all structure. You know. Once again, why does this wee bed never have a muskie in it? Yeah. This looks just like Peg Leg Joe's bay that we just keep smashing them in, right? But this bay never produces eats. It never has them in it. You know what I'm saying? I got to follow from a 33. You know. But you go to so-and-so's weed bed, and it's just rompous. And it's scary. You wish you knew more. I'm going to send Jay. Huh?
One observation I had, too, is like you guys, I imagine, are still experiencing slightly below normal water temps for that. And a lot of times, if you got big feeder creeks pumping in cool water in the summer, you know, peak summer temperature type status, you know, on a really hot summer, maybe that would have a big impact.
Oh, that is, the hotter it is, the more impact. You know?
Yeah.
The warmer it is. I mean, water temps are pretty kosher right now. We're not worried about trauma. I can promise you that. Right. But it's just so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to play. If it's really, really warm, that would play even more, but I just think that it's kind of like the final component up here of how much that it plays.
Yeah.
You know,
what is it like 72 to 74?
72 kind of to 74.
It's like, that's happy temperatures. Yeah. Right. They're pretty happy.
They're
water temperatures here. So,
you know, fricking smack them up on the bump board for an hour, let them warm up, you know,
shivering.
They're cold up there on the deck. We're bringing them in to warm them up, Jay. bump them twice if you're going to play nice, is what we say.
bump them on the sunny days.
After you just scoped the hell out of them, driving around, that's it. We're not even throwing at rocks. It's just scoping all day. Just let's see where Jesus takes us on the scope. Jesus, take the wheel. No, not even using it, but it's funny. But, yeah, you know, it's... It's interesting. The other thing is this, the majors seem to be majorly important. You know, it is what it is. You know, Bob will see it by the end of the week. It will be revealed. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here scratching our heads because I have, again, Bob's agnostic on it. I have a love-hate relationship with it where I think I best articulate it as being an absolute zealot about it and then a complete backslider in regards to it, you know, so.
With regard to Moon, yeah.
But yeah, with regard to Moon.
Influence of Moon, yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Other than that, Jay, what are you thinking, buddy?
No, I'm thinking you guys have had a great, successful trip so far. Bob, you just got up there yesterday, so you haven't had much time on the water?
Yeah, not too much. Yet, or? Yeah, just yesterday.
Okay. And you got a few in the net, or how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, we saw a bunch. We got the sporting model in the net last night, and we're in the middle of the day here, so we're
waiting for the chunder, if you will. No, it's good stuff. Like I said, just a different kind of epiphanous kind of. Seeing how important one more factor is, maybe annoying in some capacity, where you do see the redacted letter. If we only had, there's a bit of that. I think mentally, you know, and just being so observant. I'm, again, spending so much time hyperfixated on looking at the rock composition. Mm-hmm. And not the composition, but the what would be the correct terminology? The shape.
Yeah, just the shape, yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, I remember I was fishing with Herbie last year, and I'm looking at these, you know, in Canada, and I said stuff. It's like, well, we are driving by how many great-looking musky spots right now, yeah. And we're driving mm-hmm. right by them. I mean, they look great. And I said, well, how do you know that that's the spot and that one isn't? And it was... He didn't give up the current thing so much as he just said, well, history, man. Like, I've been doing this so long. I know what... We go to the best spots.
Right.
I've fished it. And what are they?
What are they? And why are they great? Yeah.
And we're kind of trying to figure out, well, what makes a spot that looks as good as the other one
mm-hmm.
great, and the other one is mediocre or unproductive.
Unproductive, yeah.
Just completely unproductive.
You know, especially when you have... You know, same body of water and you have the same composition, you know.
Yeah.
Now, structurally, let me put it this way. The 12, from 0 to 12 is the same, if you will, right? We have weed, we have rock, we have a change in depth, right? The rock difference is noticeable, as mentioned. But when you start extrapolating out from that, nothing is there. Again, nothing's there to lead them there. It's the thing from the book where I said, if you built a McDonald's in a cornfield, but you didn't put an exit, right. And literally I can take you to the place that makes me, that where that came from, right? Where I went, this looks so freaking good. It's got it all. Yeah. It's the cat's ass, as they say. And it's just one more piece of the puzzle, okay. I guess.
How do they get there?
How did it get there?
Yeah. I actually have no doubt that Herbie knows the current stuff. He's like, he's saying it, but.
You know, you yeah. piece her up. Other than that, yeah. Jay, how excited are we for Mustang, my friend?
Very, very excited.
It's going to be good stuff. So
it's on the website. It's right on top. Sign up, pick a couple colors you want because there's a lot of them. There's more than there are available in the Kraken. I think there's 10 colors.
Yeah, 10 colors on Mustang.
Kind of stuff. And it's relatively really affordable. It's an inexpensive bait compared to the other stuff on the market right now. So we've talked about it a lot. So, besides that, Steve, it's been real busy at the shop. We've gotten a lot of other cool stuff in, but you know, you asked if we had other new stuff, and it's not really. It just restocks, like
restock like crazy.
Innovations, yeah. It's just like trying to keep up. So
stuff is going so awesome. Yeah.
And the Smitties were in the other day.
I'm sorry.
And guess what? Yeah, I know. Both of them, big Smitty and little Smitty. So
right, even worse.
And we're all getting ready for sucker season right around the corner.
Oh yeah,
well, hard to believe.
I hate to say that. But yeah, how far off are we on that? Really, realistically?
Yeah, really. By the end of August, that kind of starts kicking in. So we have to stock heavier on live meat. Yeah.
Get your meat now. Anyway, well, me and the Dr. Bobo got to get after it here, son, and see if can't find a couple more pieces of this puzzle. Anyway, Jaybird, say a Vita Zane.
Thanks, guys. Night.
Later.
Bye-bye. The musky lay across my big bump board. The muskie lay across my big bump board. Whatever colors you have in your mind, show them to you when you're fighting time. Lay musky lay across my big bump board.
Stay, muskie, stay. Stay in my net a while.